Welcome to Ordinary Fellowship, a podcast inspired by the Puritan practice of godly conference or spiritual conversations among believers. These spiritual conversations offer practical spiritual help for Christian living. I'm Jeremy Lee, and with me is the guy that always knows how to get me fired up right before we start our podcast, also known as Matthew McLaughlin.
Hey, Jeremy, calm down.
So, we're going to talk about something that shouldn't be controversial at all today. And we have our good friend Pastor Mac with us to help us in this discussion. We're going to talk about biographies in general, but knowing Mac, we're probably going to be talking about Christian biographies especially. We asked Mac to come on because I know he likes biographies. I do too. I don't know about Matthew.
They have their place.
Okay.
The history major likes biographies.
Okay. Mac, your most downloaded sermon, or most listened to sermon on Sermon Audio is your biographical sermon about Abraham Kuyper.
Oh yeah, I think I did notice that.
Yeah,
so it's because nobody else has done one.
Could be.
And so if you're looking for his name, that's what comes up. So.
But, I mean, that shows at least someone else in the world is interested in biography. Other than us three. So we're going to take a little time to talk about biographies today and see what wisdom we can gain from that general discussion. So,
okay. So let's start with the first question. So, Mac, what does the Bible say about biographies?
Well, I think biographies are inherent in the fact that much of the Bible is a book of history, for sure, and you have individuals. I mean, one thing I was thinking of when I was thinking about that question is, my mind went to Jesus' prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, obviously, is God's work, but is God's work through people. I think, too, of that Psalm 110, Jesus Christ, our Lord, will reign until all his enemies are placed under his feet. Those are people. And so you've got, I mean, you if you're going to understand the Bible and the story of covenants and the story of kingdom and the work that he's doing, you're going to have to look at the individuals who have been affected by that and who have been whose lives have been changed by that and who continue then to preach that same message, that same gospel themselves. So biography just seems to be inherent. I mean, you can't think about the ministry of Jesus without also thinking about Peter and, I mean, the disciples at large and the women who followed. I mean, there's just people all over the place that if you're going to understand the Bible, you're going to spend some time reading about people.
Jeremy, what do you have to add?
Well, there's a couple passages in Hebrews that I basically like to read and not comment much on, that talk about specifically learning from other people and imitating their faith. And one of the reasons why I wanted to ask this question especially was because I've heard before that we just follow Jesus, and to read about other people and imitate their faith is just following after man, as if we're not supposed to do that. And so I do think it's important to lay a biblical foundation for this. But Hebrews has quite a few things to say. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, actually starting at verse 11, the writer says, "We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And then later in Hebrews chapter 11 names name after name of heroes of the faith, people who lived by faith and showed by their example how to live by faith. And then in the first two verses of chapter 12, right after that Hall of Faith chapter, the Bible says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which cling so closely and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And that passage makes it obvious that Jesus is the first and foremost one, but there's others who have lived by faith who are examples too. And then the final one is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." That one, I think, is especially important because it shows you that as far as imitating human beings, there's limits because you have to consider the outcome of their faith. Now, I think the writer of Hebrews is thinking you're going to see positive things and follow those positive things, but I don't think it's a stretch to say you're also going to see negative things,
right?
What to avoid. And there's other places like 1 Corinthians talks about the examples of the Jews where they sinned against God. These were recorded so that we won't follow their example. So you can have positively, the Bible tells us to imitate the faith of those whose faith is worthy of imitation, but also avoid the sins of people who have sinned before you. Learn those lessons. I think the Bible plainly teaches us that yes, Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is the preeminent one. We follow him. And all the virtues we see in any of his followers that we're supposed to follow ultimately come from him. But God's given us human examples of living out the faith. And we shouldn't just say, well, that's just following man.
I'll add one more verse to that. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 17, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." He says in Ephesians 5, we're supposed to imitate Christ as dear children. So there's clearly just from a theological perspective, there's this idea that we're supposed to pay. You can't imitate something you don't watch. So yes, we watch Jesus, but we also watch other people who have watched Jesus so we understand how to deal with the things that we're dealing with.
Right. In Jesus, there's no having to discern in him, is this good or bad?
Right.
Where everyone else, we have to say, well, is that good or bad? Or should we really follow that?
So, now that we've laid some biblical foundation, let's broadly think about biographies for a few minutes. So, first off, what are some of the lessons that you've learned from biographies, Mac?
Well, when I think about that, one of the first ones that comes to my mind is Augustine, his Confessions. I remember reading that was really, when he wrote the book, his Confessions, that was the first time in history anyone had been that personal. And so, the need to be specific about confessing sin. I mean, Augustine is probably one of the most premier people who can tell you, besides the Bible, of course, that that's an important thing to do. I think about people who stood firm in times of big challenge. Think about Charles Spurgeon and the downgrade controversy that he was so involved in and just seemed to have very few people standing with him, but he pressed on. You know, the idea that the need to be firm, even when so many of the people around seemed to be going the other direction. J. Gresham Machen is another example. When liberalism was becoming so prevalent in the Presbyterian denomination, he wrote a very important book about liberalism, and again, basically was defrocked as far as his ordination, was forced out of the denomination, but again, he stood firm. And a lot of things he wrote are still as applicable today as they were that time. So I think a lot of the times when I think of some of these people who really went through really difficult times, it reminds us and is kind of an encouragement for us to stand firm as well, to be strong and courageous going forward. I mean, people have had to do that for centuries. And so I think that's one of those are a few of the things that come to mind.
I know that John Bunyan's life. I've not read a biography per se, but Pilgrim's Progress is kind of autobiographical.
Yeah, I think so too.
For him. But I've read some of the things he's wrote. One quote that stands out in my mind in particular is, he'd rather the moss grow on his eyebrows than to compromise his convictions at all. I mean, the suffering that he went through, he was in prison for all those years, had away from his children for 10 years. It's encouraging to know someone stood firm in their faith even through a trial like that. I mean, there's others as well that have suffered like that, that have been encouraging to me. The magazine Voice of Martyrs, the Christians that they talk about in Voice of Martyrs, it's not really a biography, but they tell their story. And we don't even know their names sometimes because their names have to be hidden because they're in countries where they could be killed for their faith. That was always a huge, huge challenge for me in my faith. And then I think guys like William Carey, it's just so inspirational what they did. I mean, they were pioneers. So normally when I read a biography, I am very encouraged by what I read.
I'm going to piggyback on something you said there. One of the things I've recognized too, and you mentioned, you kind of alluded to this earlier, whenever we think about Jesus, we don't have to figure out if this was a good thing or a bad thing. When you read about other people, there are things to question that you wonder. I mean, I have a great respect for William Carey. I've always got this thing that there's such an awkwardness on why he took his wife and forced her into that kind of situation that basically led to her going crazy and her death. You know, he can easily be second-guessed about those choices. Another guy I've read about who I greatly admire, who doesn't nearly fit in Christian perspective, even though he was a Christian, Jackie Robinson, who's probably one of the heroes of my life, and ever since I was in junior high and first learned about what he had done. As I got older, I began to realize and began to hear that he was a Christian. I believe he was. I've read a number of things about him. I believe he was a Christian. But I also read Boys of the Summer recently, which focuses on the Brooklyn Dodgers of the time when Jackie Robinson was part of that team. And the quotes that were there from him, there was some really bad language. I was really disappointed. I mean, that apparently he talked like that. I mean, I guess that's how ballplayers talk in general. But the fact that he could use some of the words that he used, I mean, I still have a great respect for him, but it makes you realize these people had major issues, had big problems as well. I mean, they didn't just sell through and do everything right. So part of it is learning from their mistakes and say, well, I think what they did was right, but that was not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way, I guess it's good to see that our heroes have flaws.
Yeah.
Because the danger is putting them on too high of a pedestal. In one sense, it's good to see those vices.
Yeah, it is.
Those are some of the lessons, but we can say this, that wisdom requires life experience. So how do biographies help you gain life experience?
I think it's some of the same thing. I mean, I would kind of tie it into lessons learned, kind of tied in, because a lot of them went through things that might be similar to what we go through, but they're not going to be exactly the same. I read one fairly recently, within the last couple of years. I read it was really more of a youth biography, which is something to say. There's all kinds of levels of biographies.
Right. I mean,
there's the, you know, some that are harder to get through just because, you know, they've been written for years ago. Then there's others that are kind of redone for a younger audience. And I use some of those sometimes too. Mm-hmm. Some of them are done in like historical fiction kind of things. Douglas Bond has done a lot of good things on that. G.A. Henty. It was on John Wycliffe, and it was especially talking about what he did during the Black Plague and the things that he did before he got famous, you know, and helping people, where most of the people in this seminary, the school where he was attending, all left He's one who stayed to help people who were dying from the Black Plague. And just seeing things like that, I mean, I haven't experienced that. I mean, we have a pandemic here, which is nothing at all like he had to deal with. But it really kind of helped me to have some understanding of an experience of something like that that I've experienced to maybe 100th of a degree that he did. But that's one example.
I think that's a good example because the pandemic that we're having, none of us have ever experienced anything like that. Whether this small degree or to the large degree that Wycliffe did. And I know when all of this first started happening, a lot of the blogs and things that I read were looking back at historical examples like Wycliffe and Luther and how they handled the situation to give wisdom for handling this now.
Yeah.
And even though it's not exactly the same, there's an analogy between the two. There are diseases and there's dangers involved in ministering. And so that, I think, is an excellent example of how history in general and biographies specifically may help you to work through things that you've never experienced before and give you added wisdom. That's really good.
Yeah, I think just reading biographies just gives you experience. It shows you wisdom because it shows how people think. It shows how they process. And then you can put yourself in the same place and figure out if you would come to the same conclusion. And then you get the end of the story most of the times. So you find out whether their conclusions were right or wrong, and it helps you work through your processing ability. So I think that is a way in which biographies help you with life experience. But another thing to talk about is, how do biographies discourage or overcome what we would call chronological snobbery? That is, it's the temptation to think about the present with superiority, that we have more knowledge, we have a better morality, therefore, why do we need to read about the past? Or as you read when you talk about people think about history, they're dead, they're gone, they're buried, let's move on. Why is that bad? So how do biographies help us overcome that thinking?
I think the thing I deal with is probably the opposite. My snobbery is in the other direction. I don't expect to learn as much from people in the present as I do from people that were in the past. And I have to kind of deal with it the other way around to realize there's people in the present who have some things to offer as well. But I honestly do have a much greater admiration for people that I've read about and heard of, I mean, read about what they went through and what they stood for. But again, it kind of goes back to what I was thinking about at the beginning about God has a work he's doing in building his kingdom. And every one of these people in centuries past are a part of that work. We can see progression. We can see degression sometimes. But we can see progression. And I think if we don't consider what people in the past stood for and how they stood for it, we're not going to be ready to stand for the things that we have to deal with in our particular time in history. Yeah. So I think we can learn, you know, it's a couple of things I would say there.
I think it's right that there is, in a sense, progress. But one of the things that's always helpful for me is that reading about people back in the past kind of removes me from the present situation and helps me to look at it with new eyes. And it also helps me to see that people haven't changed. I mean, there's new situations. I mean, when Charles Spurgeon was dealing with the downgrade controversy, he wasn't dealing with social media. But he was skewered in the papers and things like that. And so the media at the time was skewering him. But it wasn't the same as today. The other tendency is, yes, we tend to think we're better than people in the past, but we also think we're worse in some ways. And my son and I just had this conversation because we were talking about how parents don't understand what it's like to be teenagers. And one of the things he said was that you've never been a teenager at this time. And I said, yeah, that is true. However, people haven't changed. I mean, it's different situations or different circumstances, but people are the same. So you just have different struggles than maybe I did, but it's not that different that you can't see some similarities. One of my favorite biographies recently was the story of the Wright brothers. And in that book, there was a paragraph where people during that time, bicycles were a relatively new hobby and bicycling was a big deal. There were people at that time that were very, very concerned about the moral dangers of bicycling. Because up until that point, kids basically had to stay close to home. They couldn't go out and about. But this, with a bicycle, they could drive 15, 30, an hour away from their home and nobody knows what they're doing. So there was very big moral concern with these bicycles. Now, we laugh at that, but we do the same thing when there's a new media like Facebook. And how many times do I have to see on social media, watch out for these dangerous apps for your kids? I'm like, you guys are doing the exact same thing that the bicycle people, worriers and fretters did back then. And I'm not saying there's no danger whatsoever. It helps me reading that to put things in perspective and maybe calm down a little bit about things that I think are the end of civilization.
So I'll add two pieces. One's a secular thought and one's a scriptural thought. So the scriptural thought is there's a reason why the writer of Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. So the details might change, but the situation remains the same. The historical thought is this. Those who don't learn the lessons of history is doomed to repeat it. And the reality is that when we think we've got it all figured out and we couldn't possibly do what they did, and we let our minds go to this chronological snobbery, we will quickly find ourselves in places we never thought we were going to get to, and we get there because we didn't understand what was actually going on. So I think both of those are thoughts we should consider that feed into how we fight this chronological snobbery. So now that we've talked about biographies broadly, let's talk about books in particular. So what are some of your favorite biographies? And at least give a couple secular and a couple Christian biographies. So what are good biographies that you have enjoyed?
One of the things that I think that you have to admit about biographies, depends on which one you read. Some of them can be very boring. I mean, unfortunately, yeah. They are. It just kind of depends on, you know, the writer and so forth. So there are some that it's taken me longer to get through than others. But others, the story is, you know, gripping and their situation. I think one that I really enjoyed was the one by on Lady Jane Grey. I think Faith Cook might be who wrote it. And just to me, that was just a gripping story. She died when she was 16 years old, but she had such a heart for God, but she was continually placed in circumstances that were impossible. There was no way she was going to live beyond 16 years old. And it was all because of her circumstances. I mean, I was greatly moved by that biography. And it was well written. And so that's one I think of. There's a couple that I think of related to, if I think of more secular, I've read a number of biographies related to our own nation's history. One I read on Patrick Henry was really good. Appreciated that one a lot. Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee. I mean, a couple of those I've read that were really challenging. The one on Robert E. Lee actually was a G.A. Henty book, which was a really good one too. And I've already mentioned Jackie Robinson. Those are some of the – another one I read that was pretty interesting was David Crockett. Always been fascinated by him, and I found a biography of his a number of years ago. One of the disappointments is when you look at people like that, you really hope they're Christian, but I don't see really any evidence that he was. I'll mention one other category, and that is we're Baptist, And so I have a lot of interest in, you know, Baptist biographies. We've already mentioned William Carey. And but then I think of people specifically related to our area. I think of Isaac Backus, who was a very important Baptist at the time when our nation war for independence, just before that and so forth. God used him in remarkable ways. That was a really good biography. I enjoyed reading that one. Samuel Pierce, who was a contemporary of William Carey and Andrew Fuller and so forth. I mean, that biography is just remarkable for the heart that he had for God, which is very similar to the Journal of David Brainerd, which is another remarkable biography. Anyway, I'll stop with those for now.
Jeremy, what are some of your favorite biographies?
Well, Mac said a lot of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a biography on Stonewall Jackson called Rebel Yell. I really appreciated that one. The one about the Wright brothers. I did not think when I picked that book up, it was the one by David McAuliffe. I did not think when I picked that book up that it was going to be that good, but it really ended up being one of my favorite biographies that I read. I just finished, because it just came out, R.C. Sproul's A Life. R.C. Sproul has been one of the most influential teachers on my life, so I was really excited to get this book and read it. And we'll actually probably have a podcast just talking about that. I really appreciated R.C. Sproul. I've read several biographies about presidents. My favorite ones were, I read one on Dwight Eisenhower and George H.W. Bush. They were really good. You learn more about what kind of person they were when you read that. Learn some of their ideas as well. The thing you have to watch out for, of course, with any biography is usually the person writing biography really likes this person. So sometimes they're overly positive about people. And I mean, not that you need to be negative about those guys, but the other one as far as Christian is Meet the Puritans by Joel Beakey, and I can't remember his co-author's name. That's page after page of biographical sketches of the Puritans. That's really where I read about John Bunyan, Matthew Henry, his father Philip Henry, John Owen. It's good information, but I don't know if you guys have read that book, but it's not really written like from an engaging perspective. It's more academic than anything. But I mean, it's still good and it's still encouraging. It's just not the kind of, you know, you're not going to give that probably to your kid and say, here's a really interesting biography.
Yeah.
But they're still good. So those are some of my favorites.
I've appreciated John Piper has put out a book that's called The Swan Series. They crossly put it all into one volume called 21 Servants of Sovereign Joy. That's a really good, just an entry-level sketch of 21 different Christians. That was a good book. Anything, you guys already mentioned it, but anything David McCullough writes, you should just read. Mm-hmm. He's got one on like Wright Brothers. He's written about, historically, the Johnstown Flood. He wrote about Truman. So he wrote a book on 1776. So anything McCullough writes is just good, just as a general practice. Those the more famous ones, To the Golden Shore, those Dalimore's biography on Spurgeon. You also can get Spurgeon's actual autobiography, which is really good. George Marsden's biography on Jonathan Edwards is amazing. So those are just some. But I would also say, if you're interested in looking at biographies for kids, we talked about that earlier, Simonetta Carr has done a series of biographies on that are just amazing. They're well done.
Reformation Heritage.
Right, they're again from Reformation Heritage. They're well done. They tell the story. They have pictures. They're just very good books to be an entry level. Just broadly speaking, you can go to Banner of Truth. Banner of Truth does lots of biographies. Just as a plug for that, anything Ian Murray writes, he's written a series of biographies. Just read Ian Murray. His biographies are really, really good.
Reformation Heritage also has other series like Missionary
Right
series. Trailblazers series is one, and I just saw there's one about Francis and Edith Schaefer. I don't know if it's new or not, but they're really easy to read. And like Max said, I've read some of these, and even as an adult, I've appreciated them.
Right. So any last thoughts anyone has about biographies?
Read more books.
I've got one. One thing that I was thinking, and this, again, ties into the idea of, deals with the chronological snobbery as well as the idea of God having a work that he's doing through history and he's using people. And it also ties in specifically with our denomination. One of the biographies I read was John Broadus wrote it, and it was about James Boyce, who was just a key person in the founding of the Southern Baptist Convention and the Southern Baptist Seminary in particular. He and Basil Manley, others were, and along with Broadus, were all in some of those early leaders and involved in the seminary work and so forth. Basil Manley especially was instrumental in writing what is called the Abstract of Principles, which was a summary of basic doctrinal beliefs that the Southern Seminary adopted, you know, that all of their seminary professors had to go by, and has been passed down, and other seminaries have adopted it over the years. One thing that I recognized when I was reading through the biography on James Boyce, and then at the same time I was reading things about what had happened in our lifetime with Seventh Seminary and Al Mohler and Boyce College and so forth, and just the connection over from generation to generation. When our seminaries, but I'm specifically thinking about Southern Seminary at this point, had just become so, I would say, sinfully liberal in the way that they just denied the faith in so many ways. I mean, it was just an awful scenario. It's one of the reasons I didn't go to seminary right out of college, because I didn't want to go through all those things. When Mohler came in the early 1990s and began to change things around, he used Boyce. I mean, all what he was doing was standing on the shoulders of James Boyce and Basil Manley and John Broadus. And he was going back to them in order to make applications into the present. And as he did that, and his inaugural speech, he said, "That's exactly what I'm going to do. This is how the seminary started. This is where we are, and we're going back to that." And he kind of laid down the line. That's an amazing message to read if you haven't read that before. But just to see that, and then when my daughter graduated from Boyce College, and I was able to sit in on the commencement, you know, for a graduation, and just think about what a night and day difference it was from the liberal Baptist college that I went to and graduated from in 1976. And then just a couple years ago, she graduates there, and all I could do was just sit there and cry, because I could just see the change. And it ended up going back, at least in part, to Boyce and Manley and Broadus, but it's a change that affected my family and my daughter and our whole denomination. So I just think it's interesting, and biographies really help you see those kind of connections over the centuries and over the generations, to help see, you know, my kingdom come, you know, and seeing the prayer answered through people. So
our encouragement to you is read biographies, read wide-ranging biographies, just spend time reading, as we've said before, spend time with dead guys, and ladies,
right.
Because it will encourage you to see God's providence in their lives, and you'll be more likely to see God's providence in your own life. And there's just so many benefits you can have from reading biographies. But for now, we thank you for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, a podcast ministry of Two Rivers Community Church. For more information about Two Rivers, you can find it on our website at www.tworiverscc.org. We look forward to your questions, your comments, and even that dreaded hate mail at ordinaryfellowship@gmail.com. please follow us on Facebook at Ordinary Fellowship and like and subscribe to Ordinary Fellowship on whatever podcast listening service you use. But for now, we thank you for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, where we strive to have spiritual conversations for practical Christian living.